Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Here's some proper rivalries for you, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. It's Friday, 22nd of April. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushin Hantharaja.
We sounded like a breakfast show, didn't you think?
You sounded like a breakfast show, you two. I didn't.
Well, no, breakfast show, you've got to be quite, I think you've got to be more upbeat than we were.
Okay.
And you've got to say things like, oh, it's just come past 10 o'clock. And it's
coming
fast
up to
approaching.
The 9 o'clock hour.
You've done that before, haven't
I've
you?
I've done that.
Haven't you leant out of a helicopter and like told people what the traffic's like in West London?
Is this sadly, how you met Chris Evans?
Sadly, I did not get to go on any helicopters.
Oh, so
just
that,
sit
so
in
that
a
abseiling story's a different one?
Yeah, that's right. Off Tottenham.
But you did okay. The weather, didn't you?
Travel.
Yeah, but you have to be in a helicopter to do the travel.
No, mate, you just get CCTV. It's really quite creepy, actually. You get CCTV cameras from all over London. Just be like, oh, what's going on there? That person's about to get a ticket.
That was always one of the cooler jobs when I was growing up. I thought, like, being on the helicopter and then just, like, having to look at cars. I was like, that's a dream. That, and do you remember in This Morning when they do the weather, when the bloke would jump from, like, island to island?
Yeah.
It was like a styrofoam thing of Great Britain.
Yes.
On the water. And he'd like run along it and then jump over to Ireland.
Yes.
I always wanted to do that.
He got wrestled on that once, didn't he, by an intruder?
Yes! Yeah, someone came on a little boat and attacked him.
Yeah.
The weather does look really fun. I want to tell everybody about the next episode, the final episode of Back from the Brink. But we also want you guys to tell us what other documentary episodes you'd like to hear in the future. So perhaps this this weather thing could be a goer. So write in, Fish and Brass. Yeah, the final episode of Back from the Brink is now out over on Football Ramble Presents. Andy Brassel turns his attention to Europe with Nicky Bandini and Jonathan Johnson, amongst others, explaining how the continent's big sides have dealt with the Super League fallout. We also ask, a year on from the debacle, what's all this for? You can catch that one now on Football Ramble Presents. Don't forget to subscribe, have a listen, and get in touch with all of your plans for weather-based or perhaps garage music documentaries.
Yeah.
Football focus generally, I should probably.
You had to get it in. You told us that you grew up, one of my mates had a garage where they play garage music.
That was when I was actually an adult. Guys, Burnley beat Southampton 2-0.
They were so solid, weren't they?
You got to give him that.
That was good.
Come on. Come on.
This is the stuff, I feel like, of a proper Premier League season, right? Because you felt like you watch this Burnley game and you think, fuck it, they actually could stay up. They could stay up. Every single time there's a game, basically, you think something new is about to happen, both in the title race and in the relegation scrap and in the race for top four. Brassel doesn't because he knows everything in advance.
No, it's not that. I think it's Southampton are flatterers, really, in a situation like this. We talked about this before the game, didn't we? The possibility that Southampton could just roll over. Now, they didn't just roll over. They had their chances, and if Shea Adams had a pair of shooting boots, maybe we'd be talking about a different story right now. But I do feel that taking from a win over Southampton, who do have that ability to be really good and also really terrible, unlike almost any other team in the Premier League, you can't read too much into that. Of course, Burnley, like, they started well, and that's really what got them through the rest of the game. But they've got to be pretty relentless from here. And they're a team that's not won a lot of games. I know momentum is important, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they had the chances to kill that game, I thought, and then let Southampton get back into it, which would concern me a little bit.
Yeah, Burnley should have been probably more than two up by half-time, Fish. And to start, I mean, just... but. Guys, sorry, I feel like we're not giving enough time to the incredible opener, the beautiful Connor Roberts opener, curling into the back of the net 12 minutes in.
That was very good, yeah. And it's the kind of goal that you can extrapolate into thinking, why didn't we see that more under Dyche? Oh, we banned them from shooting. You know, there's this idea that, like, Dyche was this, you know, was the mayor of the town in Footloose, a film I haven't seen, but a reference that I've heard too many times before to use that I'm using now, as someone who, like, just robbed them of any kind of joy and got them playing in this very specific way. But yeah, no, it was a lovely goal. I mean, Oriol Romeo should have opened the scoring with that header first up.
True.
And just on Andy's point about what, you know, a lot of the talk of Burnley survival requires them to go on a run of form that they haven't had in, what, maybe 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah,
maybe.
So they've won their last two home Premier League games now,
yeah,
which is as many as they'd won in their previous 24 at Turf Moor, drawn 11, lost 11.
But the idea of the survival is that they're going to be met more than halfway by Everton being Everton.
Yes.
So I suppose there is something, maybe because Burnley have been in this situation so often that you often will attribute their experiences as being a strength of theirs in this, you know, in this circumstance. But I mean, I thought this was done when Everton beat Manchester United, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
And part of me still thinks, you know, with Everton's game in hand, that, I don't know, obviously you can't rely on them to win that particularly, but there's, you know, with the game at Liverpool on the weekend, which we'll go on to talk
yes,
to, it feels
exactly.
like there is, you know, a big block there. But that, you know, that atmosphere at Turf Moor yesterday, even the way that the Burnley players reacted to the sacking of Dyche, I always wonder with this in terms of,
wait, how do you mean about how they reacted? Do you mean they reacted positively?
Well, they reacted with a win, yeah. So
yeah,
we can
yeah.
Say they
sorry,
because
well. They reacted initially with surprise and
yeah,
like, support
course.
And all that
yeah.
sort of stuff, yeah.
But it's the kind of thing where I think, you know, players would have had their own conversations with Dyche privately, messaging him saying, you know, hope all's well, thanks for everything you've done for me, blah, blah, blah. But there's a real sense that when a manager is sacked at that point of the season and then they get relegated, that it will just be put on them and you forget the years where you kept them up and even got them into the division in the first place. But I suppose there'll also be a lot of motivation in, you know, fighting against that, in that, like, we want to do this for ourselves, we want to do this for the club. You also kind of want to do it for him as well. So it doesn't seem like there's any love lost between the players and the coach, and the ex-coach rather. So I think that'll carry forward.
Has Mike Jackson always been Mike Jackson, by the way?
I mean, you have to be, don't you?
Or if they
don't call me Mike, you can't call me Michael, especially after the Bashir stuff.
Yeah. I the only person I've heard called Michael Jackson, Mike Jackson, before is The Game. That's all I'm thinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
I like that.
I didn't like the way, speaking of being a bit, I didn't like the way he kind of overtly went over and made his players all go and clap the fans at the end. I thought that was a bit, I'm the alpha here and I want you all to know it. Did you see that?
Do you think it was a bit hate or love it, the underdogs on top?
I thought it was a bit,
Andy got that as
well. And I'm happy.
50 Cent as his assistant.
And I'm happy you're happy. You know what I mean, though? He sort of was very like...
50 Cent would actually make a great assistant because he's got that kind of like hard dad look, hasn't he?
I don't feel like you guys are taking Bernie seriously. I'm quite surprised by
that. Have you seen that? Have you seen those clips where 50 Cent pretends to be someone's... someone's new dad, essentially.
Right.
So their mum is like has a chat with this kid. And is like, oh, by the way, I've been seeing someone new. And 50 Cent walks in.
In the vest?
Yeah, in the vest.
In the vest, yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
If Sean Dyche was still here, I don't think you'd be treating Burnley with such a level of disrespect.
Is someone I can absolutely imagine in a vest?
Yeah, that's true. In the snow.
Yeah.
Look, I don't necessarily agree with you about this game in hand thing on Everton Everton having a game in hand because...
They're worth less when you're down at the bottom.
Yeah, of course. And also all the games they're playing against people like Liverpool, next games are Liverpool... Chelsea, Leicester.
Yeah, you see, it's funny. Like I said yesterday.
Okay, Watford, Brentford, Crystal Palace, Arsenal, last game of the season.
I still think Everton will get away with it because Burnley won't get enough points.
Yeah.
So their average, I guess, around the average total to keep you up. I know this doesn't actually really mean anything because it's been such a wide range, but
well,
the average total,
yeah, it
has been 35 points. So that would leave them needing 7 points from 6 games, which is absolutely achievable.
Yeah, absolutely is achievable. I think if you look at Burnley over the season, the performances have actually been better than the results. And you can't normally say that for teams at the bottom. I actually think they're a decent side. And they've definitely improved by bringing in Cornet, Weghorst, even though the returns have been variable so far. On paper, I believe in them to get past Everton. I'm just not 100% sure they're going to get that many results.
I also think their opportunities to get past Everton have come and gone. I think, you know, you mentioned Cornet there. There's, you know, a couple of missed chances. There's obviously that missed penalty against West Ham that came to bite them. That, I know, you know, these are all ifs and buts, and when those goals go in, they change the complexion of the rest of the game and whatever. But they are, like, we're not talking about, oh, if they perform a bit better here, perform a bit better there. There are tangible chances, which quite literally would have Burnley above Everton at this point in time.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for flattening my enthusiasm about the joy of the league, you guys. I'm gonna keep believing, if that's all right.
Well, you can. I mean, I thought this was all done and dusted.
I think because the fucking
February.
Manchester United result made you think, all right, thanks, Everton.
It felt like that, didn't it?
You're fine.
I mean, it felt like the world were rounding against Lampard, and United gave, you know, Everton got that result, and suddenly it was all kind of over. And to be honest, after their equaliser in midweek, I thought, you know, Richarlison's equaliser, I thought, oh, okay, there's something going on here. But Burnley responded with that win, so you never know.
Yeah, Chris Wilder being linked with the job, by the way. He says he's all in, he wants to manage in the Premier League, but with Borough. Burnley could go out of the relegation zone before Everton play on Sunday, a game they definitely will not win, will they, Andy Brassel? We'll come on to that in the second half. First of all, we're going to talk about Arsenal, Manchester United, looking ahead to the weekend. There's another intense football egg in Manchester, as we learned yesterday at the very end of the show.
You know, we talk about the new manager bounce,
yes,
or the new head coach bounce.
Head coach, yeah.
When he's not yet arrived, can that do something for you? Because it feels like United need a bouncing and then some.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It feels like a bone. Like it's been pretty torturous in terms of even just like the dialogue around Manchester United, and this feels like a positive to throw in a couple of days after getting battered by Liverpool.
It's funny you should say that. I don't know what you felt about this. I felt almost immediately after they got battered by Liverpool the Ten Hag announcement is coming.
Yeah.
Like super soon.
Oh, 100%.
It has to be. It's the reverse of burying. Well, it is. Actually, it's like government's burying bad news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, what we're looking forward to here is this Ten Hag announcement. Manchester United finding a way to beat Arsenal. Monday news of how to renew your season ticket for next season. That's generally how it works.
Oh, I thought before that we'd get like news of a modest profit over the last year. Maybe a new partner, official jacuzzi sponsor, yeah. Something like that.
Cristiano Ronaldo saying, "You know, I want to end my career at Manchester United." It's all coming. Everything's coming up. Millhouse.
That's a lot to happen before Monday, and they've got a game in between now.
Yeah,
don't stop believing, Bishop. Look, he's not going to be backed. Erik ten Hag, this is, who was announced yesterday. He's not going to be backed with a lavish budget, apparently, but will receive what the club regard as, quote, adequate funds. That's a phrase that covers a lot of options, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I just wonder
adequate,
if it's...
They're adequate.
Surely it's the Newcastle United thing of we're only spending 60 million in this window. You don't want to tell the world that you've got a war chest, do you?
I mean, that is a good point.
But can you imagine? Manchester United spend over the odds on everybody anyway, so I don't really think this new bit of PR is going to do the job.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, for them, the sticking point is getting rid of the ballast. That's the problem. This is the worst possible environment in which to do it. How much that hamstrings Ten Hag and the things that he wants to do, I think is the big question. But the even bigger question, as we were touching on yesterday, does he get to buy the players he wants and feels he needs, or the players that Manchester United normally go for and get at those inflated prices that you were talking about? Option A, they've got something to work with. Option B, he's got no chance. Yep. Of succeeding, basically.
But doesn't the fact that they've appointed this guy, this kind of a guy, doesn't that make it seem as though
not
they
really.
Might?
Not really. I think you can sub those names with Rangnick. You think, oh, right, they're interested in like a new philosophy, new ideas, changing what's gone before. They haven't given him the tools to do it. Until they've actually given Ten Hag the tools to do this thing, you know, it could be Picasso, but with a spoon. Basically,
I would actually quite like to see that Picasso with a spoon.
I mean, he's dead, isn't he? If he had some like modelling clay or whatever, yeah. He could do sculpture, maybe.
Yeah,
he'd have to just do something slightly different.
Picasso reference is quite interesting because a lot of Picasso's paintings, when you X-ray them, they have a previous sketch on the canvas that he's done that he hasn't liked, that he's flipped around and then painted over. And it's become a thing.
It's environmentally
whereby,
friendly, I like that.
Well, it's become a thing whereby a lot of his older work is hidden behind these other works of art that have gone on to, make his name, as it were. And I feel like with United and Ten Hag, it might be very similar, whereby whatever Ten Hag tries to do, you're still going to have the imprint of the shit behind it coming to the fore. And that is, you know, you're spot on about that. You wonder how much autonomy he's going to have at the club. And I also wonder if...
Is it about autonomy or is it about help?
Well, I mean...
It's a combination of the two, really.
So to me, they're one of the same. Yeah,
right,
because there's a lot of talk about all the... You know, we've talked about it to death here about how a lot of United's issues are from the top down. You need wholesale changes, this, that and the other. And it's never going to be one man. But every manager that's been floated as a potential replacement, whether it, Ten Hag now taking the job or Pochettino before him, it was the idea of giving them all this, you know, all this control. I don't think any manager is capable of assuming the level of control that you need at United. They need to bring in people at various different levels. They kind of had the right thing with Rangnick, but it doesn't feel like he would now take that job, even if the job, you know, it was quite a flighty idea anyway, that he'd be this almost a bit part mentor to whoever was coming in. Mm. I think he'll probably leave the club outright come the end of the summer.
I agree with you, yeah.
And then in which case, suddenly you have things to fill. Now, potentially you do that through consulting with Ten Hag when he gets his feet under the desk at the end of June and say, who do you reckon you need to instill your values at the different levels of the club, not just above you, but below you in the academy as well. Mm. But he's got a huge job on his hands. Even just thinking of what his primary role will be, the main players on the scene in Liverpool, Manchester City, to a lesser extent now Chelsea because of what's happened with Abramovich, they're around for the long haul because they've got systems in place that dwarf United right now. And it's going to take, you know, no one has a divine right to success. United, just because of the success they had in the 90s, aren't suddenly going to be a main player because they've got, you know, their main front office in order. It's got to come from the top down, and it's going to take a bit of time. And yeah, like, I don't necessarily think he's going to be an outright success, certainly not immediately.
It's why head coach is a better term, really, because it emphasises risk of getting into kind of management speak, but it emphasises the fact that you need a proper hierarchy and you need everyone to know their jobs.
Yeah.
And to do them. We're on tenterhooks, speaking of which, about the result of the talks they've been holding with Steve McLaren.
Bring him back.
It's not absurd, is it?
Apparently, no, he initially rejected Ten Hag's.
He's a good coach.
He initially rejected Ten Hag's request, though.
Don't do that, Steve.
Grace Robertson made a really good point on. Grace Robertson made a really good point on Twitter the other day. I mean, she makes a very good point all the time. But you know, there was a lot of shit given to the fact that United were looking at McLaren, and she made the point that, well, up until last year, Pep's assistant at Man City was Brian Kidd. Until he retired. So, you know, it's a role that has a very different remit. You don't need a big name in there. You just need someone who's very good at what they do. And he's worked with McLaren before. It does, you know, it makes a bit of sense. And McLaren has had a lot of success as an assistant manager. And as a manager, to be fair. I know, like, we shit on him a bit, but he knows what he's doing. He's not a clown.
Doesn't matter, though, because he's got
The umbrella, didn't he?
Yeah,
imagine having an umbrella in the rain. What a knobhead.
actually, apparently it was Manchester United who rejected the initial request. What does that say?
They probably want a name. They probably want a name.
They probably exposed themselves again.
They probably wanted Ten Hag with Pochettino on the side.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Pochettino, what do we think about all this? Yeah, supposedly, because the idea was that they had conversations. Woodward has had a few meetings with Pochettino, who's obviously been constantly linked with this job. Mm. The first of which supposedly was in May 2018 in a Holiday Inn around the M25.
Was it a Holiday Inn or a Holiday Inn Express? I think that's important detail.
I'm not familiar with the dichotomy.
Was it like Alan Partridge? Was it equidistant from Manchester and Paris? Somewhere near Folkestone.
Wayne Rooney also purportedly sound out for a coaching role, but he would only leave for a number one position. Damn right, Wayne.
Yep.
It kind of makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Especially, we talked about him a lot this week, haven't we? Because of Derby, but I think he's definitely in the process of earning it. So poor old Poch. We'll come on to him another time, or perhaps he'd just gradually fade out into obscurity.
Just listen to this week's On the Continent, and now available on Football Ramble Presents.
There you go.
Doing your job for
you. Do your own plugs, mate. I'm exhausted. So I've got a lot of admin on this show, actually.
Yeah, I know.
It's coming up. So look, on the actual game front, Manchester United are 3 points behind Arsenal and have played a game more. But
how
are they still in the Champions League reckoning?
The thing is, every time I watch them play, you think they're miles off.
Yeah.
And then you look at the table and you think it's still possible.
They're geniuses. They're hiding in plain sight.
They are.
I don't understand it. It generally blows my mind because it tempers like how annoyed I should be, because no other club has the luxury of being as bad as Manchester United are and yet still in with a shout of Champions League football.
So actually their system's perfect. They just buy their individuals and it's fine.
Yeah. We're playing possum.
Just be grateful. That you have the most marketable individuals in the world playing for your club, Fish.
We do.
And that's something we can all get behind, isn't it?
I think Arsenal, you know, a couple of months ago looked a lot further ahead in their life cycle than United. And over the defeats, I know people have overreacted to them to a point. That win against Chelsea, I don't think was quite instructive of where they are. I think obviously they played well, but Chelsea look pretty cooked, to be honest, after the week that they've had.
Yeah.
So this will be interesting, because I think even if both teams essentially are running on fumes, I feel like Arsenal have a bit more of a spring in their step.
I guess it's how do Arsenal react, because they're expected to win this. They were not expected to win at Chelsea in the week. Mm. In fact, a lot of people didn't really expect them to be competitive at Chelsea in the week. And, you know, as you said, maybe it would have been different if Chelsea had a little bit more in the tank, even though that was excellent from Arsenal. I wouldn't normally say this, but I really want Arsenal to win this, because I remember the night of the first game.
Yeah, what? He's just trying to piss us off.
I didn't call him a wanker. I was
doing the wanker sign.
No, I was like, No, I was doing the why I order. Yeah,
he's doing the wanker sign.
I'm doing the wanker sign.
I've never. I don't know what
it's,
else.
It's not a
does
very
the
good...
wanker sign mean something else that I don't know in it's, popular culture?
It's not a very good version of the wanker sign.
No, it wasn't a wanker. I was like, oh, you, I'll get you, that kind of thing.
Oh, oh you're being right. Like.
Okay. Anyway, I remember for the.
It was the wanker
for
sign.
Okay. For the first game. You know when they have those split kickoffs when one of the games kicks off at 7:30 and the other kicks off at 8:15? The Arsenal United game at Old Trafford was the 8:15 one. This was in a midweek back in December.
This and is the 3-2 win.
Yeah, and I'd been to see Spurs versus Brentford.
For Manchester United, sorry.
So it worked out quite well. You could finish watching the Spurs-Brentford game and then retire to a hostelry to watch the second half of the Manchester United-Arsenal game. And because it was full of Spurs fans...
Yes.
Of a certain age, I would say. They were mostly older than me, actually. I know, hard to believe. But like basically, when Ronaldo scored his goal, and obviously the winning goal, and went to the corner and did the thing, all these 40-year-olds went, "Zoo!
No, 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 no."
Like, I mean...
Tottenham, you know, fans.
Yeah.
No, guys, and come so on. We can talk about this. Don't
like,
do it.
Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah.
So I wasn't into that.
It's a big thing in the adult world. I think it's replaced the cha-cha slide. Things that people over 40 think is cool, yeah.
Oh, man. Look at what you've done.
I haven't done that. I didn't tell him to do it.
You're a you collective, I guess, as part of the
every time,
United
every time,
fraternity.
Every time United mess up, which has been quite a lot, my brother sends me a voice note saying, "Sue." So yeah, it's certainly lost its love for me. Not that it had much.
That's a real sibling insight there. I like it a lot. Let's think about what we've done for a moment, and then take a quick break. In the second half, we're going to be dipping into the Championship, and also thinking about those groundsmen in Chelsea. Back in a sec.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I've got a little one.
Silent.
It was just banter. And I said, "I know that, Sean."
Oh, welcome back to the Ramble TV show, sponsored by Betway. It's Friday. We're in a fun mood. I hope you guys are too. Time for some emails.
Show at footballramble.com.
Shoutfootballramble.com. 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 Shoutfootballramble.com.
It's art.
We've got one here from Dylan.
I was waiting for another one. Was anyone else waiting for another one there?
Yes. Yeah.
There's never enough.
Dylan has mercifully interjected. After listening to today's chat about Mark McGee, it reminded me of my favourite McGee moment. Okay, as an Aberdeen fan, I'm not the fondest of Mark McGee. Losing embarrassingly in Europe, getting beat by part-timers in the Cup and getting beaten 9-0 by Celtic all leave scars. The best of Mark McGee for Aberdeen fans came years later in 2017 when he was Motherwell manager. On a midweek fixture that had to be rescheduled due to floodlight failure, Aberdeen were 7-2 winners over Motherwell. The highlight of the game being McGee's sending off in the second half. McGee had to be escorted into the stands by police as he went up the stairs, told fans videoing the moment to get that the fuck. Nice.
It's like he's with us in the room, Bass.
It's something about the accent. Malcolm Tucker, Jamie, Mark McGee. Swearing, it's just better.
Yeah, it really is.
Just better.
Before we move on, let's check in to see how Fort William are getting on. Because I know we talk about them a fair bit.
Does this count as bullying?
No, this is support.
No, but we're constantly bringing up their, you know, their defeats.
No, okay, their so L's. No, there hasn't been a defeat yet. The update is, this is the first season that they could actually get relegated from the Highland League, which is a worry. Their bottom place finish was confirmed, sort of semi-unsurprisingly, but they're playing the first leg of their relegation playoff this Saturday against Banks OD. Fort William have been in the Highland League since 1985. So this is not bullying, this is support, Fish.
Yeah, I suppose.
Wish
yeah.
them all the best.
Not if you're a Banks OD fan listening
That's
to this.
That's true, but they haven't earned their stripes with the Ramble, have they really, Banks OD? They're only
no, that's true.
They're only coming into this latterly.
Get at the match.
I'm in.
Get in touch. Hope it goes all right. Shirtfootballramble.com. Tweet us at footballramble. All right. London. Another. Yeah. Well, there's two London derbies actually this weekend, but we're not gonna.
I thought you were terming Arsenal Manchester United as a London derby.
I mean, it is. It is. It really is. We're gonna talk quickly about Chelsea versus West Ham. Chelsea versus new one. Can Chelsea's groundsman Brass turn their form around?
Well, that's the question. Has Vish had any correspondence from the Chelsea groundsman going, do you know anyone with a roller?
Yeah.
With
ooh,
your cricket connections?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good shout, actually. Yeah. Yeah, a roller's good to smooth that out.
Andreas Christensen said Chelsea held an inquest after conceding 4 against Arsenal, although didn't mention if the aforementioned groundsmen were involved in this, given that they are the real villains here. Vish, Antonio Rudiger was missing in midweek and he's set to be absent yet again. West Ham are going to win, aren't they? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, West Ham do look pretty cooked, don't they? Or certainly saving themselves for midweek ventures into Europe, which is how it should be. I'm actually quite jealous. This is the point of the season where you get a bit jealous of people who have something to play for, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Especially when it's silverware. The thing about, you know, you mentioned that Rudiger absence, it's incredible what effect he has when he's, or rather, you know, his absence has. When you think about, like, how he played in that second leg against Real Madrid, where he was carrying the ball forward and kind of conducting them from quite deep. Mm. He did that a bit during the FA Cup semi-final as well, and they looked totally at sea against Arsenal. I mean, it might be because, you know, of the camber that apparently Stamford Bridge is now.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I can see kind of Chelsea kind of forcing their way, forcing a result out of this. Not just because they don't have as much to play for as West Ham in terms of lead position, but, you know, West Ham got Frankfurt on this coming Thursday.
It focus feels your like mind. Wanna,
it is funny, actually. You know, you can't overlook that people. Chelsea have had some really quite crappy home form over the last little while. I think if you go back over the last, like, what, 8 home games or something like that, the ones that they've won have been with last-minute goals against, well, last-minute pen against Leeds, and that last-minute Havertz goal, which was, you know, almost Bergkamp-esque, really, wasn't it, against Newcastle? It was a bolt from the blue and not really typical of the game. I mean, presumably, that is the big difference. Like the Havertz is going to start, not Lukaku. That has got to be the big difference. And they've started to lean on him. I think that there are increasingly less people who feel that Havertz is not their centre forward of the future now. You know, he's able to do so much. But I think the defensive shape, I mean, they conceded four at home against Brentford when Rudiger was there. So, you know, they've got issues at the back. I think the midfield is a massive part of that as well. But it makes you sort of project forward. Obviously, we don't really know what's going on with Chelsea, but I think, and what they'll be able to do this summer. But I think if you look at it, okay, losing Christensen is one thing. Losing Rudiger, it's going to be super hard to replace.
Yeah.
Really, really hard to replace.
Especially even if we look at the off-field stuff, he seems like the glue in that dressing room.
Yeah.
He's someone who seems to have, I don't know, like...
is interesting, isn't it? Because
yeah.
Lampard seemed to like publicly characterise him as not just not a good player, but a bit of a terrible bloke as well.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. When you see a lot of their behind-the-scenes stuff, or if you listen to... You know, when the younger players do various different bits with influencers or this, that and the other, Rudiger is a constant that comes up throughout as someone who just looks after everyone.
Yeah, like in that Club World Cup photo where they're having it taken, you know, where they're all in the dressing room.
Yeah.
And he went up, I think it was behind Kai Havertz, just as the photo was about to be taken, and slapped him on his bare back really hard. So everyone else is smiling and he's going, oh! That was excellent.
I mean, that's just good banter, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
On the behind-the-scenes stuff, Martin Broughton's bid is now featuring star appearances, potentially from Lewis Hamilton and Serena Williams, as part of this kind of American-style way of investing in sports clubs, football clubs, all that sort of stuff.
I mean,
he was involved in Liverpool as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, like with Lewis and Serena, I don't really care about Chelsea, to be honest. I'm pretty ambivalent about them, but yeah. I find that extremely exciting.
Yeah.
This is the thing, and like, I know we're saying that we're exciting because of, you know, their personalities, but...
You think they could have influence, basically, don't you?
Well, no, they're not going to have influence. The reason they're doing this is because, you know, it's like a guest appearance from so-and-so and other celebrities. It feels like it's the kind of thing that...
Isn't it?
It's just there to get fans on side.
So I mean that Brass and I feel, like, hyped up about it because you feel as though it means something. But in actual fact, I think it's just an investment vehicle for high net worth individuals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like Usher owning 3% of the Cavs or whatever, isn't it?
And
yeah.
LeBron at Liverpool as well.
I suppose the difference there is that LeBron is kind of into Liverpool.
He wears a shirt occasionally.
No, but he's kind of, you know, he watches their games.
Of course he's into them. He got given the shares as a gift and they're now worth six times what they were when he received them.
That's a fair point, yeah, yeah. Now, Jimmy Butler, I'll be all over that. Besties with Paul Pogba.
He met Beckham the other week, didn't he, in Miami?
In Miami, yeah. They've met a few times, actually, yeah.
Before we move on, loosely connected to this game, former West Ham manager Alan Pardew.
You will not let this lie, will you?
Pardew Chronicles! Come on, guys, this is what people listen for.
Yeah, go on.
Yesterday, CSKA Sofia progressed to the final of the Bulgarian Cup in just... the second game under his masterful leadership.
What a tremendous achievement.
What an achievement.
Tell us the details.
Well, he's done really well because he's got a he's in charge of the team, yeah? And they're in the final. So that's the detail.
Right, now give us a little bit more detail.
The sub-detail is that they'd actually won the first leg of the cup semi-final against Slavia Sofia 2-0.
When he was manager?
When he was not manager.
Right, okay. And what happened in the second leg?
The second leg under Pardew, they lost 2-0. They lost 2-0 at home.
Okay.
But they did win the penalty shootout. So that's very much like a manager having an impact, isn't it?
Do we have any news on dancing?
I haven't seen a clip of it.
Is it a manager bounce with Pardew or is it manager twerk?
All of this was illustrated, obviously, with a still of him doing the dance, but unfortunately it was not. It didn't... I don't think it's been... dropped into that stadium yet.
Right.
But I'm sure it's soon to come when they win the final or lose the final. Merseyside Derby also this weekend, Sunday 4:30 kickoff. Liverpool host Everton. I mean,
this would be the shock of all derby shocks if Everton got anything out of it. In fact, if Everton didn't get absolutely battered, given how good Liverpool look. And like, you know, it's really hard not to believe in Manchester City, I think, for anyone who watches them on a regular basis. However, it's weird that they came out of the game against Liverpool still 1 point ahead, They've stayed on top since. And yet the momentum behind Liverpool is so irresistible that you almost feel as if the team in second place, who's got to get better results than this relentless winning machine with probably the best players in the division, you feel that Liverpool are the favourites. Well, I feel that Liverpool are the favourites.
It's a bit like Mario Kart, where if you're first, you know, you've earned that position, but everyone behind you feels that little bit quicker. Mm. And second place.
No,
is...
I never feel like that, Mario Kart.
I think it's
like,
yeah, Mario Kart, no, it's a big thing. Yeah, if you're second in Mario Kart, you're flying. Your acceleration is that little bit greater.
I don't think I've ever been second in Mario Kart.
Wait.
Well, then you've never won because it's the best place to win from. but you watch Liverpool and you think they can catch anyone.
But that's the thing in long distance running as well, like sitting on the shoulder of the other.
Yeah, but that's different
because of the
is it drafting? What is it called?
Drafting. Well, that's more in cycling, but yeah.
No, but it happens in running as well. You know, you mentioned ahead of the United Liverpool game about the satisfaction you can gain from jolting the title charge of a rival, and I countered that by saying, "Well, actually, no. It's if you're pushing for something yourself, then maybe that win in itself fuels whatever you're doing. Then there's that greater satisfaction there, and I think that's exactly what we have with this game, whereby Everton's motivation to not just stop Liverpool winning the title, but also take themselves to safety, it creates this a bit more feeling around this fixture anyway.
But that implies that they have the capacity to do anything about it.
No, sure.
And
but the people who are going to, people who are going to be walking into that ground in blue shirts are not going to be thinking that, are they? They're going to be thinking, fucking hell, we need to do this. I reckon the atmosphere is going to be something incredible.
I'm sure it will. But
I don't know. I think Everton fans are pretty flattened by this season.
Maybe, but this is this is the game of games, really, for them. And then the other thing I will say is, while everyone was rightly praising Thiago for his, his waltz essentially on Tuesday night, he's not going to get that kind of space and time in this.
No, in fact, they probably shouldn't start him.
Yeah.
In this game, I would suggest.
I would say Alan and Fabian Delph are sharpening their studs right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not gonna leave his side, basically.
If Everton get any kind of a result out of this game, eat something really disgusting.
Yeah, but for you, that's a carb, isn't it?
I love carb loading. Wear a silly hat. Do something stupid. That's not a... Yeah, that doesn't make any difference. That's just an average day in the office. Jürgen Klopp visited. Maybe he'll be waltzing into the Liverpool pub named after him, Jürgen's Beer House, after winning this one. He went in yesterday, showing up on the team bus for some reason. Hopefully they were sticking to orange juice. In the Championship, there are some huge games this weekend, even despite Fulham, of course, have already gone up, as we saw the joyous scenes from Marcus, not quite on the pitch at Craven Cottage, because that would be disrespectful. And Derby obviously went down. Barnsley could be relegated by tonight if they draw or lose to Huddersfield. That would mean one less relegation rival for Reading. Former Reading coach and Crazy Gang member Wally Downs had some choice words for Neil Warnock this week after his recent retirement. They famously clashed at Reading in 2006, and Downs said, "I wasn't proud of myself because I should have clumped him harder." He was a divisive character. I didn't like him.
Clumped is great. It's such an onomatopoeic word, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. Also, the other thing about this is normally after someone retires, it's just... unbroken platitudes about how great they were.
Great guy, yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful that Wally Downs has just turned around going, "Yeah, he's a twat."
will you miss him? Him? No. Should have hit him harder.
Bournemouth are going up against Fulham, who, as we say, already promoted. That's on Saturday afternoon. Scott Parker heading home. Bournemouth need 3 wins in their last 5 to guarantee an automatic spot. And Nottingham Forest have a chance to cement their place in the Championship playoffs as they go to third bottom Peterborough. The more intriguing news possibly is that Nicolas Cage wants to play Steve Cooper in a film. That's the Forest manager, who's doing really, really well. I'm not sure what the film... Well, anyway, we'll see if it's made into a film, and we'll see if this has any kind of basis to it at all. His actual answer was... I don't know anything about Mr. Cooper, but I mean, I'm open to anything if it's a good script.
Oh God! Why are they getting Nicolas Cage in to do this stuff? And then why are they asking him this?
It makes him sound quite desperate, doesn't it?
He doesn't look that much like him.
I don't think that matters, does it?
No, it's not going to be better than I Believe in Miracles anyway, is it? So
Yeah, I suppose.
You know.
We look forward to that one. Would you watch it? Yeah.
Maybe it's a film about Swansea. Maybe it's nothing to do with Nottingham Forest.
Do you think there'll be a scene where he plays Brentford and loses? He'll be like, bees, not the bees.
That was good. So you're thinking more of a cameo than an actual core role.
Yes.
Okay, it's time for Betway's Forward to Score. Entry is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game one is Brighton against Southampton. Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff. This is Andy Brassel. Spent a long time thinking this one through. Andy, what have you come up with?
No, I spent a long time typing it because I'm not a particularly talented typist. I would never back against Breach's boys. Leandro Trossard is going to score the first goal.
Oof, burn.
She's not here.
Little sack up.
Yeah.
Are you convincing yourself there?
No, I was asking. She's not here, is she?
Game two, it's Burnley against Wolves. They can get themselves out those relegation places for the first time since October, Burnley. Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff as well. Fisher, what are you picking?
I'm on the Burnley train. I'm picking Jay Rodriguez to score first.
Oh, finally you're on the Burnley train. Good man. Game three, Chelsea against West Ham, Sunday at 2 o'clock as well. Luke has picked this.
Mason Mount.
It's pretty good. He's been playing quite well.
I mean, it does what it's... Good contribution, Luke. Does what it says on the tin.
Yeah, does.
Seems like he really took our rinsing to heart after that 53-seconder the other day. Game four, Liverpool up against Everton, Sunday 4:30. Kickoff. I really go backwards and forwards about all of my picks on this after some recent success this season. Apparently Sadio Mane is the current player who's scored the most goals in Merseyside derbies, but I'm going to go with Trent and I may regret it. So Leandro Trossard is the pick in game one from Andy Brassel. Game two, Burnley up against Wolves. Fisher's gone for Jay Rodriguez. Game three, Chelsea versus West Ham. Luke has picked Mason Mount. And I have gone for Trent Alexander-Arnold in the Merseyside derby on Sunday at 4:30. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/forward to score. Further T's and C's apply. 18 plus, and please do gamble responsibly. For more information on all of that, head to begambleaware.org. Okay, it's time for this.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Yes. You know, someone came up to me in the pub the other day and said, this is why I'm fucked.
That's Are you
cute.
Joking?
No.
That is
amazing.
It's good, right?
Welcome, ladies and gents, to the Game of Mace today. The champion, unsurprisingly, is Andy Brassel. I'm not going to ask you how you feel, Vish, because you look like you're about to die of nerves. So...
Well, that's because he thinks Jules is behind his chair.
Yeah, you still don't answer that, by the way.
And she is. And she doesn't even have to crouch.
How are you feeling having to do two things at once now?
You're
meant to be psyching me out, not her.
Yeah, that's the main true. Issue is managing the two of you. So frankly, it's the same.
I'm not from the Atletico school of just getting the referee's head.
It's the same fucking bullshit that I have to put up with every single day. Right, you're going to go first, Fisho, because you're shit at this. The first player who is not currently playing but may have a significant influence in the life of a current player and the current player's moves that we've been discussing this week. It's four teams you got to get. I'll finger Haaland.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't worry. Some of them aren't... just completely in Brussels' wheelhouse. He's not written anything down, though, listeners.
Yeah, because he doesn't... Oh, he does have paper.
He does, yeah.
Quick game. Yeah, I'll do... I think I can do two.
You were going to say, I think I'll do all four. Line him up.
I'm going to have to do three, because he can definitely do two.
Nice. Do you want to come back in?
I think it's Brassels.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you do three.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
All right, then. Go for it.
For tension, Leeds, Manchester City.
Very nice.
And the guess is Mulder.
Oh, well, well, well.
Well, well.
Gotta have a punt. Gotta have a punt.
You do.
Yep.
The other two are Nottingham Forest.
Oh, what?
I was a bit. Yeah, I thought you had that one. I assume that was your third. And then Brian FK.
Yeah, I should have gone for that, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Visho, enjoy it. You're 1-0 up.
I was going to go for Oslo.
Enjoy it. Okay, Bressel, what do you think, what do you make of the six teams of James McFadden?
Huh.
One of the best Westlife. It's extraordinary to have had a career like that and then also being a hit boy band.
Yeah.
He's writing. He's written down. Oh, no, I shouldn't give that away, should I? That's unfair. Well, it's unfair going against Brass, so maybe I should.
I'm going to go 2.
Interesting. Based on what I can see. Can you do more than that?
Oh, James McFadden. I fucking love James McFadden. Why is this so hard?
And he loves you too.
Can I do 3?
Please. How about you, Brass?
No, you do 3.
Oh, is he trying to... Ooh. I don't know if you want him to condescend to you. Go for it.
Kilmarnock? Is it Falkirk? No. I had Kilmarnock down as a first.
Congratulations in getting 2 more answers in the same player.
Oh, guys. The listeners love a trier. Motherwell is where he started.
Oh, fuck. I did know that. I was there when he played.
Oh, no. Shaked. Everton, Birmingham City, back to Everton, Sunderland, Motherwell again, St Johnston, and again Motherwell, Queen of the South.
Hmm. Oh, that's annoying.
Okay.
That is annoying.
That is annoying. The listeners are annoyed.
Speller will be very disappointed.
Why
did
I think Kilmarnock? Was I thinking of Chris Boyd? Maybe. Anyway, we move.
Don't worry about it. It's 1-1, and I think I can speak for everyone when I say that's more equal than I was expecting at this point. We're coming up for a 5-team man, and it goes across to Vish now. Vish, how many teams would you like to bid for Aaron Ramsdale?
How many?
5.
5.
5 it is. Got a couple of loan deals in there, and a return.
I'm going to do 3.
4.
I've got to say it again. The listeners love a trier.
I'll do 5.
Oh, you stupid twat. I can count. Oh, no, I can count, actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't call Vish a twat.
Yeah.
Go for it. Fight for 5 teams to go ahead, to go 1 up again. I believe in you, kind of.
Sheffield United. Bournemouth.
In order, nice.
Arsenal. AFC Wimbledon.
Very good.
This is the one I'm gonna fuck up.
It's relevant at the moment, I feel. Or maybe that's just in my head because I read an article about them this week.
Yeah.
19 appearances on loan.
Is this the point we're at now? Clues. I mean,
it's not really. I'm just giving some colour for the listeners. Come on, Vish. Just say it.
I should have guessed 4, shouldn't I?
Probably, although it sounds as though. Oh, yeah. That would have been in the slot.
You would have been right in the sweet spot.
Come on, just give us some sort of football club.
How long does he want?
Come on. This is a bit annoying, actually. Some people have things to do.
Reading.
Reading's just in your head because we've just been talking about them, presumably. Yeah. Chesterfield.
Nah, I wouldn't have got that.
Good little cup size.
I'm all right with that. I said my 4.
Reading a nice story about them in the FA Cup. I recommend it. All right, so you're 2-1 down. Vish, Brass to pick next. We've got a 7-team man. Ooh. See how you get on with the 7 teams of Aidan McGeady.
Interesting.
I like how I like the sound you've gone for there.
Interesting.
That doesn't actually say a lot to me, that sound.
Right.
He says, I'm here. I'm thinking.
You know what? I'm just going to start with a little 3, I think.
4.
Strong.
Ooh.
Do you want to come back in?
No, I'm going to let him have it.
He's going to let you have it. Use that. Go for it.
Celtic. Sunderland. Everton.
Said with confidence.
Mm. Wigan. Nah, I've done Sean Maloney, haven't I?
Andy Brassel wins. Oh.
You know, like with some of the email jingles, we need to just cut.
Can I just say?
Yes.
I think that's the second week in a row.
It's been
that
cut
you've
short.
Cut off.
Oh, I didn't do it last time. It was someone else.
You've definitely done it before.
It's not a conspiracy.
I'm complaining to the production team.
All right.
Would I have got an extra point pointing out that when he played for Spartak Moscow, he had not one, but two personal chefs?
Shitting hell.
Yes, you would have got an extra point for that.
Shitting hell.
In fact, you can have an extra point for that. So I know this might mess up the stats,
no,
but you are on full one before we go into the... Do you want to play the final bloke?
Well, who was the rest of the players?
But do you want to play the final bloke? I'm going to give you the rest of the clubs.
Yeah, okay, cool.
All right, so Aidan McKinney, seven clubs are as follows. Celtic, Spartak Moscow, Everton, Sheffield Wednesday, Preston North End, Sunderland and Charlton Athletic. For some reason, I thought you'd get him at Charlton Athletic, I guess because it was so recent.
No.
Because
Gary O'Connor was at Lokomotiv Moscow and he then went to Spartak.
Yep, he was not the guy we chose. Okay.
No, but Spartak was a big thing when he went from Celtic. Shit.
For pride. And
you don't get points for stereotyping Scotsman on here, you know.
I know, yeah.
For pride.
At least of all Gary O'Connor, anyway.
After Andy Brassel has won. All right, for pride, Visho, five teams. Lukasz Fabianski.
Ooh, flappy.
Fun fact, the L is actually pronounced as a W.
Lukasz Fabianski.
Yeah, nice, but you can't go around saying that on popular footballing podcasts, or indeed on the television, as I got slated relentlessly for once doing it when I was an eager young idiot.
Is that why you don't do TV anymore?
No, it's because I'm so old now. It's because the Botox bills aren't paying themselves anymore. All right.
Soon to be on Heart Radio, Kate Mason.
Actually, if you're listening, any execs at Heart, I would be very interested. Carry
on. Classic, aren't you?
What you got?
And now Vivaldi.
One of my favourite Tchaikovsky sonnets? Fucking hell. Don't worry about that.
You've already lost that gig.
I've lost that gig. That is...
I'm going to start with...
Just do all five. Fuck it, mate. Just do it. Or don't...
Fappy. Lukasz Fabianski. I'll start with three.
All right, fair enough. But
I suppose that means I've got to go four, right?
And I think four was the slot, was it not?
Maybe.
It was previously, yeah.
I think it was here as well, specifically.
You're right.
Do you want to try five? For pride, I mean, you've got nothing else. Although, actually, Brass could cook it up.
No, go. I'm good at it. Tier
right,
five.
Okay.
We'll do four.
West Ham. Arsenal. Swansea. I'm going to go for one of two. It's going to be... I'm going to go for Legia Warsaw.
Good man.
Ooh.
Nicely done. The last one you didn't have was Lech Poznan. Huh. He played... Difficult because he only played one cup game for them.
Because he was facing the wrong way.
So fair enough. So Andy Brassel, in an historic moment, manages to win Luke's game 5-1 because of his extra point for the Spartak Moscow chat.
Do I get to keep the thing that makes the pinging noise?
Yeah, right. Well, you just keep it at home.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You can just play it to yourself. You can have it as your text tone.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I thought I could actually like.
Why don't you just wake up to Andy Brassel win? Just have it as your alarm.
I need the correct answer thing for like if I make a point to my children, I can go bing,
ding
afterwards, and if they make a counterpoint, I can go. That'd be good.
Wish he was my dad. Oh, guys, it's time to get out there. For the purists, that was, strictly speaking, a 4-1 win. Indeed, only the purists are still with us. So, hi, guys. Thanks for sticking with the football ramble.
Now they've left.
Lovely to have you along for the ride. And thanks for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Deary me. Has it... That's a joke, isn't it? Has it come to this? That's a song of some kind.
Yeah.
I hate you all.
Conversation we had off air, isn't it?
Yeah, fine.
Original private material.
Shut up.
Yes!
Shut up!
Put that in. Put that in.
Oh, God.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.